have you all with us this morning. We are so glad you've joined us. Mentioned earlier, this is a season of Lent, you know, a season of, and I'll talk about that a little bit, but Pastor Dave and I have put together a series of sermons for this particular season of Lent. Lent is really a time of focus. It can involve giving up stuff. It can fast. You can fast during that time. It involves prayer, scripture reading. It involves confession and repentance. But the point is to get you focusing on the immensity of Jesus' death and suffering in order to experience the incredible joy of his resurrection. You need to look at one to embrace the other. And we're going to try to help you do that focusing in this series that we've been working on. We're going to be looking at various people who had an encounter with the cross and with Jesus. And we're going to look at their response and then think on that a little bit. Today we're going to look at a rebel's encounter. In the weeks to come, we'll look at the gambler's encounter, the educated encounter, and the doubter's encounter. All of this hopefully leading you to an encounter with Jesus on the cross. And then each week we are going to have communion in order to share in the suffering and death of Jesus and to remember it and to encounter it in a real visceral way. So that's what we're going to try to do. Let's begin this morning with God's Word. I'm going to read out of Matthew 27. You'll see it up here. Matthew 27 out of the Voice. And let me read it to you. Jesus was standing before the governor, Pilate. "Are you king of the Jews?" "So you say." The chief priests and the elders stood and poured out their accusations that Jesus was a traitor, a seditious rebel, a crazy, a would-be savior, a would-be king. Jesus stood with these streams of accusations flying at him, but he did not respond. "Do you hear the accusations they're making against you?" Still Jesus said nothing, which Pilate found rather astounding. No protest, no defense, nothing. Now the governor had a custom. During the great feast, Jewish feast festival of Passover, he would allow the crowd to pick one of the condemned men, and he, Pilate, would set that man free. Just like that. Gratuitous, gracious freedom. All this time, they had a notorious prisoner named Barabbas. So when the crowd gathered, Pilate offered them a choice. "Whom do you want me to free, Barabbas or Jesus, whom some call the Anointed One?" Pilate knew that the chief priests and the elders hated Jesus and had delivered him up because they envied him. Then Pilate sat down on his judgment seat and he received a message from his wife. "Distance yourself utterly from the proceedings against this righteous man. I have had a dream about him, a dream full of twisted sufferings. He is innocent. I know it, and we should have nothing to do with him." But the chief priests and the elders convinced the crowd to demand that Barabbas, not Jesus, whom some called the Anointed One, be freed and that Jesus be put to death. "Which of these men would you have me free? Barabbas! What would you have me do with Jesus, whom you call the Anointed One? Crucify him! Why? What crime has this man committed? Crucify him!" And you picture the scene. Barabbas, a notorious criminal. In Mark and Luke, he is described as being part of a riot called an insurrection. Josephus, the ancient Roman historian, says he's a revolutionary, a rebel. To Rome, he's a terrorist. He may have been part of a group in the New Testament that the New Testament calls the Zealots, a group wanting to overthrow the occupiers, the Romans. He's one of many Jews of his day who hate these foreign oppressors. They hated the heavy taxes, that were imposed on them, up to 80% of their money. They hated the soldiers patrolling the street. They hated their presence in their temple. And many Jews prayed to God for deliverance from this horrible burden. But most would never be so foolish as to challenge the greatest military might in the world. But not people like Barabbas. And his hatred grew along with his bitterness and his anger. Doing something beat doing nothing. And so he robs and he kills. Eventually he gets caught. He was fighting a fight he couldn't win. You know, he may have been married, we don't know. He may have had kids. Maybe just a guy wanting a better life. But now he's lonely, he's bitter, and he's on death row. His life seems a waste. Can you relate to Barabbas in some ways? Maybe you have hopes and dreams and you try to make them happen in your own strength. But there's forces out there that seem to be working against you. They overwhelm you, and somehow you wind up in a prison of your own making, held by chains of bad habits, bad attitudes, self-inflicted wounds, bitter, angry, blaming, feeling like a nobody. Barabbas. Not a personal name, by the way. Bar means son. Abbas means father. His name, with great irony, is Son of the Father. And then we hear the words of the Son of God, the Son of the Father, in Luke 4. And look at these words with me. We're going to look at some scriptures here. In Luke 4, we go back in time a little bit. And he, that is Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. As was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet, the Old Testament book, the prophet Isaiah, was given to him. He unrolled the scroll, and then he found the place where it was written. And this is the quote from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me. And you hear back to that phrase, what Pilate was saying, the anointed one. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Everything every Jew was wishing for, including Barabbas, is stated there. And yet this Son of the Father has also been arrested. Crowds demanding his life's blood. Crucify him, they cry. Jesus stands fairly close to where Barabbas is imprisoned. The prison is about 600 meters from where Jesus is being tried. It's fairly likely that Barabbas can hear the crowds, but likely not Pilate. And when Pilate asks, "Who do you want me to release, Barabbas or Jesus?" and he doesn't hear that, the crowd shout, "Barabbas, Barabbas!" And Pilate says, "Well, what do I do with Jesus?" And the crowd shouts, "Crucify him, crucify him!" And Barabbas is hearing what? He's hearing what? He's the notorious criminal. And when the soldiers come and get him, he's not thinking freedom. Luke 23, look at it with me. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and he said to them, "You know, you brought me this man Jesus as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Therefore, I will punish him and release him." Even that, you know, he's guilty of nothing, so I'll punish him. "Therefore, I'll punish him and release him." But the whole crowd shouted, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us!" And then this line, "Barabbas had been thrown in prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder." Look at this next slide. So we have the absolutely guilty one, the rebel, standing next to the absolutely innocent one, and the crowd yelling for the blood of the innocent one. Imagine Barabbas' shock. He's on death row, and now he's free to go. You know, I wonder if he went, just thinking out loud, I wonder if he went after this to the place where Jesus was crucified. I wonder if he went to Golgotha. Picture what that would feel like. I wonder, watching Jesus be crucified, if he muttered a word of thanks, knowing this man stood literally in his place. I wonder. And we read in Romans 3 where Paul writes, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then Paul writes in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. How? In Christ Jesus our Lord. And somehow, those who deserve death are instead given life. Let's be honest. We're all in prisons of some sort. We're all on death row. We're all guilty. And the innocent one is taking our place too. On your outline, one blank I want you to fill, one thought I want you to take home. I am Barabbas. I am Barabbas. Why? Well, Jesus stands in my place. It's interesting, early on, Jesus had said things like this in Mark 2. On hearing this in this conversation, Jesus said to them, to the religious leaders, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. I have come to call those who admit they need me. Why does Jesus do this? And the answer is this, so your name could also be Barabbas. Son, daughter of the Father. That's what his name means. So your name could be Barabbas. Son, daughter of the Father. Look what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 6. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And that ought to give you profound comfort. Paul writes in Ephesians 1:5, God decided in advance meaning way back, God decided in advance to adopt us into his family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. Now notice, this is the Jesus Christ who will be crucified in our place. Notice what the Father thinks here. This is what he wanted to do. And then this weird line. It gave him great pleasure. What, to have a son crucified? No, of course not. To have you know you are sons and daughters. That's the great pleasure. That's the great pleasure. You are sons and daughters of the Father. You know, Barabbas had to be the most fortunate prisoner ever in the world. Scheduled to die, and then Jesus comes along and takes his place. Think back what Isaiah said. Jesus quoted that early on in his ministry, come to set the prisoners free. I mean, isn't that fascinating? He came to set prisoners free. He literally does with Barabbas, but with us as well, to bring liberty to those captives. Captive in thinking, captive in all kinds of things. John 8:36, this is what Jesus brings. John 8:36 says, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. You will be free indeed. Notice, by the way, it is the Son who frees you. I don't know, it doesn't say if Barabbas ever embrace that freedom. I don't know if he ever really embraced his name, Son of the Father. It doesn't say. We don't know. Or did he go back to his life of bitterness and anger? Angry at a world that wasn't the way it was supposed to be. Can you relate to that? Angry at a world that he wanted to rail against because it was unfair. It was harmful to him and to those around him. Really, eventually then living in a prison of his own bitterness and resentment. Did he go back to all that after that? Or did he enter this new kingdom, the kingdom of God that comes to us through the Father and the Son? Jesus said, just to illustrate what this son was about, Jesus said in the greatest sermon ever, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, look at it with me, Matthew 5, 41 through 45. He says, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2. Give to the one who asks, and don't turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you, that you, and notice here, that you may be children of the Father. What do we as children of the Father do? You know, we enter this upside down kingdom. By law at this time, a Roman soldier could walk up to you and said, you, here, take this, walk. And you were, by law, you had to go walk a mile with that pack. The rebels, those railing against this, and I get that. I mean, how many of you would accept that with great joy in your face? Somebody walks up to you and says, carry my pack, and you have to listen to me or I can hurt you. I mean, those are fighting words, aren't they? At least they sound like it. You know, and the rebels and the zealots, I mean, they hate these Romans. This is grounds to kill them. And then Jesus says, go 2 miles? What? Look that guy in the face. After 1 mile, Jesus, after 1 mile, and then the Roman stops, and he's expected to take his pack back. You know, you look at the guy and you say, you know what? You do a lot of walking. You must be pretty tired. Why don't I go another mile with you? This Jesus says, bless your enemies. What? Pray for those who persecute you. Are you kidding me? You know, when Jesus was arrested in the garden, Peter, typical of Peter, draws a sword and he chops some guy's ear off. And then Jesus put the ear back and heals the guy. And then Jesus said this, look at it with me, Matthew 26. In that hour, Jesus said to the crowd, am I leading a rebellion? Am I like the zealots, like the guys like Barabbas? Am I like that? That you have to come here with swords and clubs to capture me? Because that's exactly how Barabbas got caught, right? He got caught by guys and have him kicking and screaming and dragging him to prison. Jesus, every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, you didn't arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets, like Isaiah, might be fulfilled. And then all the disciples fled and ran away. Why'd they run? This isn't what the Messiah is supposed to be. The Jews are waiting for a rebel Messiah. It's exactly what they're... Did I come to lead a rebellion? The answer for all these Jews, for Peter and the disciples, is yes. It's exactly why you came. We're getting rid of these Romans. They didn't expect a crucified Messiah. That would never have entered their imagination. They didn't expect a Messiah who says on a cross, Father, forgive them. They really don't know what they're doing. No one except Jesus would say such a thing. The one who brings life through death. The one whose kingdom will come and will last forever, because it's the only way that anything will last forever is through Jesus. You know, it's interesting. Another interesting thing here. You know what Barabbas' first name is? It's Jesus. Jesus. Look at it with me. I put it down. Matthew 27, 17. So when the crowd gathered, Pilate asked them, which one do you want me to release? Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah? What kind of Jesus do you want? The rebel Jesus or the crucified Jesus? Talk about sacred irony. Jesus, Son of the Father. Jesus, Son of the Father. We're offered two ways. We're offered the way of Jesus Barabbas, going through life bitter and angry at the way things aren't supposed are should be and they're not, going in our own strength, often stuck in prisons of our own making, swinging at a world we can't beat. You ever had that feeling? The harder you try, the worse it gets. You can't change systems. You can't even change yourself, it seems. Or then there's Jesus Christ, true Son of God, who stands in your place, who brings freedom you never imagined. With Him you will be free indeed. Jesus, the one and only Son of God, the Father, who lays down His life so you can have not a temporary freedom, but a forever freedom. And like Barabbas, we sit in prisons of our own making. And then suddenly the door is swung open and we're told we're free to go. Barabbas, like us, probably scratches and says, what? What do you mean, free? Are you kidding? No. But Barabbas isn't stupid enough to stay there. He takes that freedom for what it is, an undeserved gift. He got that right. Unlike some of us, when the free gift is offered and the cell door is open, we want to earn it and we want to pay for it. No free gifts for me. I'm going to do this in my own strength. And it doesn't work. And some prefer then to stay in their own prisons, unwilling to be receivers. How many of you prefer to give gifts than get gifts? And I think there's, you know why, in many ways, I think it's hard sometimes to receive. It's hard to receive. I think it's much easier to give. Giving gives you power. Receiving tells you you don't have it. To accept grace means to admit the necessity of it. It means acknowledging that even with the prison door open, I'm not going out. This is a table of remembrance. Jesus said, do this. Eating and drinking as a remembrance of me, as a remembrance of what I've done. Well, what do we remember? We remember that Jesus' body was broken for us. We remember that His blood was shed for us. Who can partake in this holy remembering? Because I invite you to come. For only those who admit they are receivers. That's all this requires. That you receive the body and blood. You receive what Christ has done on your behalf. That's what this is about. You admit you can't do it on your own strength. You admit you can't give yourself what you ultimately need. I can't free myself. I know that. But Jesus, Son of the Father, can and does. To all who are willing to say the cell door is open and all you have to do is walk out. That's it.